Most people listening to this show use assistive technology every day, so we forget that there are people out there who are potential employers who don't have a clue that disabled people can use a computer at all. That's why the book Accessible Technology in Today's Business, Case Studies for Success, is so important. It's spreading the word to a group of people who can make a dent in that all-too-dismal unemployment statistic in the blind community. To talk about this book, which is published by Microsoft Press, I'm joined by one of the authors, Ladina Hyler, and also by Peter Wong of Microsoft's Accessible Technology Group. Ladina, good to have you on the program. Let's talk about the genesis of this book. How did you come up with the idea of writing a book on case studies with respect to accessible technology?
Well, many business managers don't really fully understand the accessible technologies that are available today. So Microsoft's goal in writing this book was to take the mystery out of accessible technology and increase awareness that this technology is available today to help people with disabilities in the workforce.
You've got a carrot and stick approach there. The carrot is to say, look, it makes business sense not to have to re-employ people because you've got to let them go when they develop a disability. But you've also said, well, look, it's also the law. You've got to comply in certain respects.
Well, sure, there are regulations, but the more powerful, I think, evidence are the business benefits that we highlight in the book about why it makes sense to include accessible technology. And it doesn't make sense just for your employees with specific types of disabilities, but it really makes sense for your entire workforce. And we talk about those specific benefits in the book.
Now, when our audience hears about accessible technology, because most of our listeners will have screen readers or large image, they tend to think about fairly pricey external solutions. But you start off with pointing out that actually some of the accessible technologies are built right in there into Windows and are quite easy to turn on.
Exactly. Many people don't realize that mainstream technologies such as Windows and Office and Internet Explorer have accessible technology built in. They have accessible features that allow a person to adjust, for example, font size or icon size or colors. So in the book, when we define accessible technology, we really mean all technology that has accessible technology features as well as compatible assistive technology products such as screen readers that allow, for example, your audience to be able to use a computer through an audio interface.
You know, it's amazing how many workplaces I go into where those things are disabled. An aggressive network administrator has decided that the best thing they can do is shield their users from control panel, and that also shields users from making those modifications, such as turning on one-handed mode or increasing the font size.
I think that's simply part of the goal for writing this book, was to educate IT professionals about what those features can do for employees and why it's good to allow a person to be able to have the flexibility to manage their own systems, because that actually increases productivity for people with specific types of disabilities as well as the aging workforce that needs to make, you know, small adjustments. For example, the aging workforce might not need an assistive technology product like a screen reader, but they might be able to greatly benefit from being able to increase the font size.
Is it really true, though, that a person with a disability can be as productive as someone who doesn't have one? This is something I've seen come up on email lists for years and years. Can a blind person really be as productive as a sighted person in the workplace?
In the case studies featured in the book, we featured professionals with disabilities in a number of different industries, manufacturing, retail, healthcare, and others. And in these real-life case studies, you see, as from a business perspective, how these people are operating at their jobs using this technology. And I think the evidence speaks for itself.
And Peter Wong is also with us from Microsoft's Accessible Technology Group. Peter, how would you describe Microsoft's commitment to accessibility across the board? You know, as a blind person myself, I find that every so often there's still an occasional Microsoft application that really has a fit with a screen reader and that doesn't seem to be able to work terribly well. There are sort of blotches of inconsistency there.
Yeah, Microsoft has been working in the area of accessibility for over 10 years now. And I think having been in Microsoft for 7-8 years and witnessing what has been happening, that yes, there are still some places where there are incompatibilities, but what we're trying to do is actually our strategy is to provide operating system level support so that accessibility can be easy to implement instead of requiring the developers to always think about it. We want to make it inherent in the system so that step by step we can get more and more of these holes filled.
I'd also like to add to that that in the book, one of the things that we talk about in these case studies is that there's some people that have been using assistive technology for quite a while, about 10 years, and they note the progress that they've seen since they've been using the technology. And one of the last chapters of the book actually addresses some of the future assistive technology that is possible in the next 10 years. So we're well on our way as a company in our commitment to increasing the accessibility of our products. And I think that last chapter of the book is really exciting because it talks about some of the potential that many of us haven't even thought of now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. When you look back 10 years, Windows 3.1 was really starting to come into its own back in 1992, and the first screen reader for Windows came out that year, and many of us were worried that this meant the end of computer access for blind people. And most people would argue, I think, that we have more consistent access today than we did then in the DOS era. I suppose there are new challenges, though. As people move into standalone appliances, such as these new digital video recorders. I see this week that Microsoft has announced that there is going to be this new version of Windows XP called Media Center, where everything's going to be centered around a remote control. I wonder where Microsoft sits, Peter, with all of that new kind of technology and how it's going to make that accessible to people with disabilities.
I can actually address that at a high level. I don't know the details about that technology, but in this future chapter, we actually talk specifically about some of the handheld devices that will operate, you know, everything from a microwave to a computer, and how some of our thought right now on how we could make that accessible. And maybe it wouldn't even be something that people would think of, oh, this is something for a person with a disability, but it would be a more convenient way to use these appliances for everyone. So we actually do address specific things like that in the future chapter of the book.
And also, earlier on, I mentioned that we want to make some fundamental operating system changes. As long as in the future that we develop technology that is consistent with the operating system strategies that we are having, then the likelihood of migrating some of these work that we have done to these new platforms would be good.
I wonder if either of you have a view about something that comes up every so often to do with whether it should be necessary for blind people, for example, to have to buy an external piece of software to make their Windows talk. Will we get to a point where what's in Windows 2000 and XP with the narrator feature will actually be expanded further so that Microsoft Windows will truly talk right out of the box and provide screen reader functionality built right in there?
I think that from my perspective, and probably Peter's as well, we're probably not the best person to know exactly what's going to be in the most the next version of Windows, because we're not experts in that area. But I do think that one of the things we've seen as a trend as a company is things like the accessibility features that are built right into Windows now becoming mainstream. So I think in some areas we will see things become more and more mainstream, but I'm not sure that either one of us could address the specifics about what that would look like, for example, with Narrator.
From a philosophical point of view, though, Ladina, having done all this work, do you think that it's the right thing to do, that a product should be universally accessible out of the box without requiring a person with a disability or their employer or their potential employer to pay additional money to make it work?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I'd have all the evidence to make a call on what I think about that, actually.
What about the question of the way this has been received by business? Have you received feedback that indicates that it's making people take a fresh look at employing people with disabilities and accessible technology?
We have. Actually, one of the really exciting things for me about launching this book is that it's really the first of its kind to address accessible technology for businesses. And accessible technology, it just makes good business sense because it helps businesses keep great employees and recruit from a larger pool of candidates. So once businesses are starting to hear about some of these business benefits, they're really pretty interested in this topic. And we've actually had a phenomenal response from the book and requests for many radio interviews and print interviews. So we're really seeing that people are interested in this topic and learning more about it. So I'm really glad that we released the book, and people were really hungry for this information. The thing that's, I think, really powerful is that if business managers can really understand more about accessible technology and how it helps their businesses, that's going to inherently increase employment opportunities for people with all kinds of disabilities, including people that are blind.
Yeah, well, you know, we get people who write to us at our website saying we had no idea that blind people were even using computers because they look at the screen and it appears so graphical. So I suspect that this is a whole new world to many people who are reading this book.
That's a very common response that I've actually gotten when I tell people what I do. They really have no idea that people that don't have arms or that are blind can use a computer. And their faces kind of light up when they hear that this is possible. And really, you mentioned earlier how expensive, you know, some assistive technology products are. But when you really look at an employee, for example, that's been at a computer or been in a job for 20 years, that develops a disability, making a, you know, nominal cost, a nominal fee for a product, to many businesses, you know, that's not too much to pay for an employee that's been around for 20 years. And in many of the case studies, we actually talk about people that had temporary disabilities that needed to be working at home and could use assistive technology to get them back to work, or people that became permanently disabled while employed by an employer, and how the employer was able to keep them around and keep their knowledge around. So business managers are really interested in this topic and how accessible technology can really directly impact how they, you know, empower their employees.
Yeah, and you really can't put a price on that institutional knowledge.
Right, and business managers recognize that.
Mm. You had some really interesting things to say, and it even got me thinking, I guess when you're so close to this technology, you kind of take it for granted after a while. But you mentioned in the book about the ways that this assistive technology actually allows people with different disabilities to communicate effectively. And there was the interesting example that you cited of a deaf person and a blind person in the same workplace who were able to communicate using email or instant messaging when the blind guy didn't know sign language and it wouldn't have been possible otherwise.
Right. That's actually one of the key benefits we talk about, with the business benefits that we talk about to business managers, is how accessible technology can enhance collaboration and communication among all employees, regardless of whether or not they have a disability. So, for example, if you are blind and you can't see someone that knows sign language, you can communicate through Microsoft Outlook with using your screen reader. And you could also use Instant Messenger to communicate in the moment with that person. And it really doesn't impact productivity negatively at all. It might enhance productivity. Some people can communicate better on email, for example, than they can, you know, in the moment. We actually have specific case studies that talk about examples like that.
There are ways that blind people can get at the text of this book as well. I was really impressed with the CD that comes, I understand, standard with the book. There's a little place in the back of the book where the CD sits. Can you tell us about the CD?
The CD includes all the text from the book in an ebook format, as well as a lot of additional resources for business managers to be able to integrate accessible technology. One of the chapters of the book includes a 5-step plan on how to develop an accessible technology plan and integrate technology into your organization. So the CD includes additional resources that show business managers kind of some templates and some things to use to help them along in that process.
And one thing that I was relieved about is that the e-book isn't actually in the Microsoft e-book format. It's using the HTML help components. So it comes up in Internet Explorer, and it's absolutely perfectly easy for a blind person to navigate.
Right, that's a good point. It is quite accessible. That was a priority for the book.
Yeah, it would look pretty bad, wouldn't it? Yeah, okay. No, it's very well done. The I guess the thing that many blind people might be thinking who are hearing this is that, gosh, if we could get this book into the hands of people in our communities, people who are employing lots of folks and could make job opportunities available, that would be ideal. So can you tell us about how people might get a hold of copies of the book?
Yes, the book's available at mainstream bookstores as well as, you know, like local bookstores as well as online. And you can order it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, but the primary place to go get information about the book is from Microsoft's press website, which is Microsoft.com/MSPress, M-S-P-R-E-S-S, or they can call 1-800-MS-PRESS and get information about the book. We're also launching on the Microsoft Accessibility website in early August, information targeted at the business managers that people should know about, and we're continuing this effort. The case studies have been wildly popular, and business managers really like case studies on focused on their industry to be able to understand how to integrate technology and how this really works. And so we're going to launch a section of our website at Microsoft.com Enable in early August that actually has some highlights of the business benefits, how to integrate this technology into your workplace, and case studies. And we're going to continue, actually, with a series of these case studies for, you know, people to get more information. So that would be another great way, the book as well as the website, for people with disabilities that are professionals that want to make sure that their managers understand the business benefits, for them to make sure that they get this additional information.
I'm not sure whether you can tell me much about this, but I understand also that Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic also makes a number of the MS Press books available to blind people.
They do, and I can't give you actually the details about that,
yeah.
But I do know that Microsoft works with that organization to supply other documentation and books available so that other people can get them in accessible formats. And a lot of that, actually, to your point earlier about the CD, a lot of our content, we're now producing it not just in print, but as a default in an HTML format. So it's actually inherently accessible.
Now, can that material be bought online? Can you go online and buy electronically accessible copies of Microsoft Press books?
I believe some of them are actually available through, I don't know the details, but available through the Blind and Dyslexia organization.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are free. I don't know all the details about that. And some of this information, I know a lot of the documentation for books are actually available for free on websites nowadays.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Recording for the Blind is the place to get this information. They do have that available, yeah.
Right, and that's at www.irfbd.org. So the book is called Accessible Technology in Today's Business, Case Studies for Success from Microsoft Press. I found it very interesting, and it's often good, even as someone who works in this field all the time, to just get a refresher like that and be reminded of how enabling, how empowering this technology is. So I congratulate you on the book, and I really appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.